Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand.
You guys, we're back, and Maddie's recording in what I presume is her kitchen, if I recall anything from the outline of this apartment of hers, which is stunning, gorgeous, beautiful. Go take a look at all of our beautiful bits and pics. And there is a poster behind her, and it has a bear on it. A cutie little bear. If you're not watching on YouTube, what are you doing? Where are you at?
Where are you then?
Not here. Clearly not here, but there's a cutie little bear. And I just want to say that I was driving this week. I was passenger princessing, which is now a verb. And a baby bear was running after its mom across the street. Obviously, let him cross.
I saw crossing guard. I am so jealous because, like, it's truly my life's mission to see a bear one day. And
you've never seen a bear?
No, and I literally spent like my entire half of my life in Tahoe, which is Bear City, and I've yet to see a bear. And I'm like always, literally, I remember since I was like a child being in Tahoe and just like looking, driving through and like looking through the forest trees and just like hoping to see one. Like when I'm driving by, still haven't seen one. But
okay, first of all, that's so precious.
I know. I wonder when it will happen for me. It'll be like a real sign of something, a real synchronicity.
Ooh. See, I like that. Bears should be like a sign of something positive. And here's the thing. And if you guys don't know this about the two of us, both of our family mascots are bears.
Yours is?
Mm-hmm. Ours is a little, it's a little Fred bear. His name is Fred.
Oh, cute. Is that just because you guys branded it that way?
It was, okay. So this is like a cheese story. My parents, when they were first, maybe not even first dating, but dating for a while, they were like out and about and saw this like adorable polar bear, like stuffed animal in the shop, and like, well, should we get it? A classic back and forth. And they ended up going back and getting it, naming it Fred. And then Fred just became synonymous with everything. Like, just.
And then you became a stuffed animal girly.
It's fine.
They birthed a stuffed animal girly.
It didn't stop. It was like, whatever. It's fine. But have you seen the song on TikTok that like this girl's made that's like a remix of 6ix9ine, Finance, DUIs, whatever, which I'm obsessed with.
Obsessed.
And I'm like, yeah, that'd be me. And I was like, ooh, can I get an edit and add in Can Tolerate My Stuffed Animal Obsession? I was like, I don't know how this goes into the jingle, but somehow.
No, that's definitely a must for you. I remember the first time I went to your apartment in New York and saw your stuffed animals, was like, and she still has a robust dating life. Look at her. What a catfish.
They stay hidden. They stay on the bed. I'm not collecting them on shelves. It's just, and they have cute faces. Then people also, here's the thing, besides that I'm guilty of purchasing myself, for sure. I admit, is people like know I like them. So then they just always buy them for me as presents. Yeah. And then it's a never ending cycle.
How much are stuffed animals these days? I'm like actually genuinely curious. Like,
okay, I'm gonna give you a whole pricing range. It's so ridiculous. There are a few reasons I know. One, including that I was like recently getting a baby gift for one of my friends, but the jelly cat ones, which are like the creme de la creme, and they are really cute.
Those go for $28 to $35 for a regular size one. And then we bought one for like in memory of my mom, because we called her Roo. So we got a kangaroo. And that was like $45 because it's bigger. And then they get up. They really get up there. But like, it's really, you're spending over $20 for a stuffed animal. You're not spending below that.
Damn.
I'm not.
Damn. That checks out to me. I haven't bought a stuffed animal. I don't think I've ever bought one myself with my own money, because I haven't had one since I was fully funded by my parents.
In my defense, the only one that I've purchased for myself in the last 2 years is a shrimp, because he's so cute and I needed something goofy. Thank you. But yeah, long story short is bears, family mascots over here. If you also know
my last name means bear, so.
I always forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just I remember there's like the California bear flag situations. Whenever California I see that, bear. I think of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's just bears and more bears. But luckily this time was not chasing me, because there was that scenario this fall that I never let anyone forget.
Yeah. That's obviously, you know, a situation I'm not interested in when it comes to seeing a bear. But I feel as though they're not usually too aggressive, depending on your energy. But
yeah, I think we stepped into one of those situations in the bear chasing moment. We stepped into a situation that was already like hot.
Like, yeah, or if the babies are around, mama bear goes crazy.
No, I have one more thing before we obviously get into our guest. The scandal hit in Texas and the House of Representatives, naturally. I put this in our newsletter, this joke, and I can't stop saying it in my head because I just find it too funny. I want to know if Senator Bob Menendez and Rep. Henry, can't pronounce his last name, Maddie, this is your cue.
Cuellar.
There it is. If they're going to be sharing a cell and jail, because the two of them have got, they might as well get like matching corruption tattoos and have themselves like a little double date with the wives at this point.
Yeah. No, I just, when I think of Representative Henry Cuellar, I think about 2021 and I think about his being pro-life and anti-choice. And I think of when Roe got overturned. And then I think of when Nancy Pelosi still proceeded to endorse him over an incredible pro-choice young woman candidate of color. And I'll never forget it. And now here we are, just having to deal with this corruption from him, lose a seat. This could have been avoided, Nance. Come on. Jesus Christ.
Literally, it could have been avoided because he's still running for re-election. And the Democratic primary has passed in Texas. So the primary that's going to happen to determine who he's going to run against, the Republicans, like that's still up in the air. Fine. But it's too late. As far as I know, I wouldn't Bible pledge on me on this one. But for him, even if he dropped, would they be able to replace a candidate? I'm not even sure. Would become so, write-in?
It's like a write-in, yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is really, really difficult to win a write-in election without incumbent name recognition. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, pissed. So it's basically
annoying.
Here are your options. Corrupt as all get out Democrat, or I don't know anything about either of the two Republican candidates running against each other, but probably Looney Tunes.
Not hopeful.
McGee. Not great.
Yeah, so, not hopeful.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get into some inspiring, exciting things that are happening in the political space, and exciting and inspiring people. Our guest today is one of them.
Amen. Literally, we're turning over a new leaf, a leaf for positivity. Where am I going with this? This is too cheesy for my own. A leaf of positivity?
Who is she? We don't know her, clearly.
Yeah, we're just having a mentee bee over here. But our guest for today is Ryan Bussey, who is running to be the next governor of Montana. We talk about the Montana boys a little bit. I think that's important to note here. And if you haven't seen like the vibe of the Montana boys, head over to TikTok, get that burst, maybe go look at Hannah Burner's little interview moments, little man on the street interviews. Have yourself a time. It is top-notch entertainment, but not more so than this podcast episode, which I know you guys are like, shut up, get into it already. So without further ado, Here is Ryan.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. We are literally with one of the Montana boys, not to be confused with, of course, one of the Montana boys on TikTok making all of those silly dances. We have a candidate here for governor. Can you tell us a little bit about your campaign? What's inspired you to run and sort of like what's going on with the race at this point as of like April 2024?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah. My name is Ryan Bussey. I'm running for governor and we have an awesome campaign going on. There's so many important topics, issues. This is kind of the front line of saving democracy out here. I know that sounds like a big sort of ethereal idea, but if you care about women's health care rights, like this is the front line right here. If you care about clean and healthy environment, climate, like this is the front line. If you care about voting rights, like we had a bill proposed, a lot of your viewers, listeners, they'll love to know or not. We had a bill proposed that actually passed that made it illegal for college students to register to vote in a college dorm. Mm-hmm. That this governor signed it. We're running against him, obviously. So little did you know that the most dangerous thing you could do in a college was register to vote. But apparently that's what this guy thinks. That's some of the stuff right. That's going on. Right. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, literally, that's crazy. Like thinking
seems
back,
we're up
to
against
like,
across the country.
Yeah, but even too, I'm just like thinking about like your point of like most dangerous thing to do in a college campus. It's like I don't know. I could just like point to like all of the school shootings that we've seen. Just putting that out there. Like some of the other things that could be more dangerous: hazing, all the like the long list. Dare we say? But
I don't think registering to vote would make that. But, by the way. It looks like this now, like all this stuff behind me. I'm driving. I'm in a truck pulled over alongside the road. It's snowing in Montana right now. So that's I'm doing this podcast with you guys from the truck on the road.
I love that. Shows your campaign on the road. So that's perfect.
That's right.
Campaign life.
I'm not driving while I'm doing this. Like it's totally
no, never, never. Not in a snowstorm, okay. Especially.
No,
of course
oh my
not.
God.
Correct. As far as you know, that's correct.
Yeah. Why is it still snowing in Montana? What's going on? Is that normal?
Well, so if you guys look at a map, we're like way high north. Like it snows up here a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We're almost to Canada.
Right.
It's not atypical to have late snowstorms. Like I was just outside of Bozeman. Big Sky Ski Resort. A lot of people know about that. Snowed 14 inches up there last night.
Dang.
Oh my God.
Okay. I'm a Lake Tahoe dweller and skier, and we don't always get all that snow. So I'm jealous, honestly. Yeah. We're in our spring skiing era. But there you go. Curious to hear a little bit more about this race, like the lay of the land. What are the stakes? We talked about that a little bit, but who are we running against? Like, can you give us just all of those details?
You bet. Guy I'm running against, he's the sitting governor. He's a Republican sitting governor. His name's Greg Gianforte. And some people may remember he's the guy that body slammed a reporter when he was running for the U.S. House. He got in an argument with a reporter from The Guardian named Ben Jacobs, and he body slammed him. Beat the hell out of him while I was asking him questions about healthcare. The guy is really dangerous. He's now governor. He won in 2020 in kind of a reflexive Republican year, right? For those,
we all try to
forget 2020. It's kind of an ugly year, but there was lots of things going on and he's a billionaire and he was here at the right time and ran with his money and kind of bought the seat. But he's a really radical guy. He believes the earth is only 6,000 years old. He believes in restricting women's health care rights and right to abortion. He signed 5 bills, promises to sign more. He believes, like we talked about, limiting voting rights, especially for kids and for our Native population. We have 7 Indian reservations here in the state, and he believes in limiting those. So kind of all of the frontline issues of saving democracy and the things that people really care about, he's really, really bad on. It's hard to beat an incumbent. For those who don't know, most times, it's 15-20% of the time an incumbent gets beat. So but this is not an average incumbent. We're running really an awesome race. We have such a kick-ass campaign team. Like our social media, our Instagram, Twitter, sorry, I refuse to call it X, but our Instagram, Twitter, that kind of stuff. Same. Like our digital director, her name is Bryn Merkley. She's kick-ass. We do some really fun video content. So all you guys should follow. We're trying to be, we really only have two rules on the campaign, and that's have fun and win. And we're doing both of them.
Amen to that. That is the way to do it. So I'm curious what some of those conversations have looked like on the road and with voters. What's a conversation that was on the fun end, and what was one that made you sort of want to pull your hair out?
Boy, there's been a lot of conversations that have given me a lot of heart. Young people, we've had college kids come into our campaign events since the very beginning. We launched September 14th, and they've given me friendship bracelets. They've been coming to our events. They've volunteered for our events. It's really cool. And that doesn't usually happen. You know, I know the sort of the mindset for most political pros is, oh, don't focus on, you know, working with young people because they'll never vote anyway. I just don't believe that. I think it's important that a candidate shows up and speaks to young people on the things that they care about in a way that they know we're serious about it. And I am, our campaign is. So that all of those conversations have been really heartening. There still is some reflexive partisanship. In other words, just like, don't care, always voted Republican, hate Democrats. Like,
right.
I don't have a lot of hair to pull out, but that stuff does make me pull my hair out, except for we're now facing such really dire threats to things that people really care about, that Republicans here in the state are questioning that too. They're mad about national politics, but the sort of stuff that's going on in the state has them really, really distressed, same as college kids, and they're ready for a change. And so even though I get frustrated, there's good stuff happening there.
Yeah. Well, when you said, talked about your campaign a little bit and your digital director and your social media, I just immediately thought about the Montana Boys, which Sam actually prefaced in her intro. But yeah. I'm just curious, do we know the Montana Boys? Do we have a potential strategy to get them on board as surrogates for the campaign? Like, what are you thinking?
I do. I don't know them. I have seen them. I know what they're all about. I don't have a strategy yet. But like a bunch of young folks that work on my campaign, they'll probably get a strategy. I don't know. But like, I am a Montana boy, but I'm not one of those Montana boys, at least not yet.
No, I definitely want a video of you doing like what's the Luke Combs song?
Yeah.
And when they go in the circle and then you're the one at the end, and then it's just like, turn out to vote Montana. Let's go.
All right. I'm in. Like, anything that's fun and drives engagement and sends a message, like we're here for it.
For sure.
Exactly.
For sure. Well, speaking of all of these moving parts and sort of this new media sphere, obviously we love podcasts. We have one. You're on one. All the things. But you're also on the road. Obviously, I would hope that you have something on the radio, something plugged into the aux cord. What is a podcast or two that you're listening to on the road that you would recommend to people?
I listen. Yeah, I am a podcast geek. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and we have a lot of road time. And there's a couple that I recommend that are really good. One is the Bulwark podcast. Tim Miller is now the host of that. Good dude and really interesting. He's a former Republican flack, right? So he worked for the Bushes. He ran campaigns for Republicans, but he now runs a kind of a Never Trump podcast called the Bulwark, which it's really good. Another one is called the Focus Group Podcast, which is kind of a spinoff of that. And the hosts, they travel around and just focus group, just meet, talk to voters about issues that concern them and then do some commentary on it. And those are both, if you're not deep inside politics, but you kind of want to know what's going on and get a read for what's happening in the country, those are two that you can listen to. They're really entertaining. And the Bulwark is daily. So I know like people who listen to I run out of stuff to listen to sometimes. So I love it that the poll works daily. And then the focus group is a weekly podcast.
That's really cool. I love the focus group one. I haven't heard of that, but I will definitely give it a listen. I'm also curious, first, outside of campaigning time, like what are the things that you love to do in Montana? Like, do you fish? Do you hunt? Do you ski? What are your hobbies? And also like, I know campaign life is busy. So when you do have time, like which one is your number one thing to like, I need to go out and do this to just like have a minute to myself?
Yeah. If you, Montanans really do love outdoor stuff, skiing, hunting, fishing stuff. So season right now, it's been decent spring fishing season. And the other day I had a few hours between campaign events and I scrambled into my wading boots and ran to a river and I caught a few trout. I love to fly fish. So I did that. I have 3 bird dogs. And I, during the hunting season, I love to chase those bird dogs around. I do that. My son, he's a sophomore in high school. My youngest son, he's a huge skier. So he's loving the ski season. So we're running around trying to do all that. We don't have enough time because the campaign is like, it takes up a bunch of time. But when we do have a few moments, those are the things we're doing.
Totally. Makes sense. Also, in case you didn't realize, we are totally making a Rex list of all the things that we want to do in Montana, because both Maddie and myself have been chomping at the bit for a Montana trip for what, maybe like at least the last 2 years. I feel like this has been a constant.
It's on my list for this summer. Mm-hmm. So if you have any recommendations for summer things. Oh man,
there's so many awesome things to do. And it's a great state to visit. I know, like one really cool thing, I go through all these small towns. And somewhere along the line, somebody in Montana like 100 years ago decided that every town would have a bar named the Mint. So like it would be cool to do a Mint bar tour, like just go to every small town and go to the next Mint bar. And they're in these cool little towns, you know. So like when you ask like a recommendation or a restaurant recommendation, I'm like, do all the Mint bars. I mean, I think there's probably like 50 of them. So it'd be a long tour, but it'd be fun.
Wait, that's such a good recommendation. But I won't see that on a travel guide online. You know, that's a real.
Yeah, that's a, like an inside baseball. That's right. That's local rec.
Hell yeah.
Well, speaking though of restaurants and maybe like a place to get a sweet treat in Montana, what's the spot to go? What's like your go-to?
Man, there's some good food. We were in Bozeman last night. It's a really good restaurant there called Blackbird. Kick-ass little place. Super good food. And then if you're up in the northwest part of the state around Glacier National Park, that's where I live. It's about 5 hours north of here. Awesome ice cream joint called Sweet Peaks. So go to Blackbird and Bozeman and Sweet Peaks up in Whitefish, Kalispell. Those are the two recs I got for you.
I'm getting so excited. Well, to turn a little bit back to politics right now, I'm curious if you have another favorite like political scandal or blooper that's just happened that just made you go, what the hell? Like what simulation are we living in? Like Mike Pence with the fly on his head, like those types of moments.
Okay, that's super funny. I want to tell you this, Governor, this isn't a new scandal, but it's something that drives me every day. He's got a gay son and he funds religious gay conversion therapy. And I remember that all the time. And I think about what it must be, like what kind of person looks their kid in the eye and says, you're not real and I'm going to try to convert you into something else. And that's a scandal I don't let loose of because I think it's telling about who he is. And so that drives me every day.
Truly. Yeah. I mean, how could it not? You know, I can't remember what bill it was, but one of the anti-LGBT bills that was up in the air this fall. I remember that the son wrote an op-ed in opposition to whatever that bill was. And it was like when I first found out that like, the connection there. I was like, this is crazy. Like that sort of that disconnect between parent and child, like beyond me. Yeah. But I'm curious too, obviously the, you know, attacks on LGBTQ rights top of mind for people nationally, but also in Montana. What are some of the other issues that are top of mind for Montanans? Like if you were to name 2 even that are always sort of like the talk of the town, what are those?
Yeah. So abortion rights and women's health care access, huge deal. They signed 5 bills. Gianforte celebrated it, promised to sign more. We're on the front line of that. They're trying to turn us into another Idaho or Texas, really frightening. And we're running hard on that and we're not being apologetic about it. The other one is we have a huge affordability crisis here. People can't afford to live in the towns where they work. Students, after they get, you know, after they graduate from college, they can't find a job that pays enough to buy a house in Bozeman or Missoula or Kalispell or almost any town. And the sort of scandal around that or the issue around it is Gianforte raised property taxes on everybody and made it way worse. And that has, so between women's health care and abortion and raising property taxes and the affordability crisis. Like, those are the two things that have people really animated. And we're running full blast on both of those.
Yeah. What is one of the proudest moments of this campaign for you? Like, whether it's a moment or just something that, like, every day, like, talking to people or knocking doors, like, just you get to tell people, like, what is just the biggest thing that you're proud of or excited to scream from the rooftops about your campaign?
I guess I'm really proud of all these people. We had an event last night and I had a bunch of people come up to me pretty emotional afterwards. We have really fun, raucous, you know, like, they're fun events to go to. And I have people come up to me afterwards. Sometimes they're young folks, sometimes they're old folks, sometimes they're in between. But several of them last night came up with tears in their eyes, you know, giving me hugs, saying, like, I've never been involved in a campaign, but I'm going to fight for you. I'll do whatever I have to. I'll knock doors, whatever. So I have lots of those. Those are really heartening. And the other one I'll say is, I'd say the proudest thing about our campaign now is our campaign team. It's 7 or 8 of us, lean and mean and doing super cool stuff. Lots of young folks. We've got, see now, 3 really kick-ass women on the campaign, our digital director, our finance director, our deputy campaign director, like, and they all wanted to work on the campaign. They came to us, and it's the sort of campaign you dream of working on. There's no drama. We don't scream at each other. We have fun. We have each other's backs. We're traveling around the state together, sometimes out of the state. It's pretty fun stuff.
Totally. So it's no, like, crazy West Wing situation. It's good vibes all around, which leads me to another question, which is there a show that you watch that you absolutely, you're like, I'm going to binge this tonight. This is happening. If so, what is that show?
So I really need help from everybody. By the time, I hope in the show notes or whatever, you guys, I really need help with a new show. I feel like I'm stuck.
You too,
like,
honestly.
I feel like all of the good TV has happened, and where is the new good TV? Like, I can't find it. So, like, my kids and I, both my kids, they're big, like, Breaking Bad fans and Mad Men fans. And so sometimes I'll just go back and watch the stuff I've already seen 3 times. Like, oh, that's a good episode of Breaking Bad. I'll watch that. But I'm tired of that. I need a new show. So you guys need to tell me what the cool new stuff is.
I mean,
honestly, I'm having the same exact problem right now. So yeah. I think we're in a bit of a lull. Hopefully something pops up soon. But
you know what? It probably was the fact that we had all of the strikes last summer. So all of the new stuff that maybe we'd be interested in is behind. But I am also having the same problem. I'm re-binging old episodes of NCIS. So if that tells
Sex
you...
Sex and the City is now on Netflix, and I've been rewatching it for, like, the 11th time. So that's where I'm at.
For
right now.
Rough waters.
I have not sunk to the depth of watching NCIS yet, so you're lower than me. But so somebody get me a show stat, or I'm going to be watching NCIS pretty quick. Damn.
Yeah, Sam has some niche TV shows that she watches and becomes obsessed with just out of nowhere, and doesn't even align with her personality. It's interesting. She just falls deep in. Classic. Well, to wrap up, what are some takeaways that you want kind of voters to know about your campaign as we depart? And then also, like, where can people find you and follow those accounts and get involved or just stay in touch?
Yeah. So I want people to know, I guess I feel really heartened that this campaign has caught fire like it has, and that we can change Western politics, Western Democratic politics for sure. If we win this thing, we beat an incumbent. If you look at the map, right, you got North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Idaho, all the states that surround Montana. Kind of a mess right now. Not kind of a mess, like, they're really a mess politically. You got women being criminalized in Idaho and crazy stuff going on there, and same in Wyoming and same in the Dakotas. And a lot of these women, for instance, on healthcare, they're coming to Montana because it's the last state left for them to get women's healthcare. And then you have all this other stuff happening. And the fact that our campaign has caught fire and we're going to beat the Republican incumbent governor, that's going to shake the country. It's something really, really cool to be a part of. And we're breaking rules. We're doing it with cool social media. We're doing it in ways that other candidates and campaigns haven't done. It's super fun. And so if you want to follow us, you can, our website's Busse, B-U-S-S-E, formontana.com. My Instagram is Ryan D. Busse. I'm on Twitter. You can, you know, follow us all those places, and we'd love to see you there.
And I, you know, honestly, the Montana boys could very well be very conservative, but if they're not, if anyone knows them, point them your direction. You can get that video going.
Send them to this Montana boy right here.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. Well, thank you so much. This was awesome.
All right. You guys take care.
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.